to Acts chapter number 8. We're going to look verse 1 through 8. And we're going to talk tonight about what's going on at the church. What's going on in the church? What's going on at the church? And when I say that, I'm not talking about Union Chapel Baptist Church. I'm not talking about any church building that you'll ride by, because that's not the church. That's just a piece of ground. That's just a building. That's just a place we meet and worship. When I say what's going on at the church, that's to every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. That don't matter what denomination, it does not matter. If they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He died for their sins, if they're willing to repent, ask Jesus to come into their life and to cleanse them and to save them from their sin, at that moment they become a child of the living God. Amen? So tonight, what's going on at the church? What's going on with church folk tonight? Let's read tonight. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading. And the Bible says tonight, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. And for Saul he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore that they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you that you first loved us. Father, there's been prayer requests all over this house tonight. Lord God, there's babies, Father, that's had open heart surgery, and the little Ray boy, baby there, Father, I pray you'd touch that family in a mighty way. Lord, they're just all over this room tonight. And I pray tonight that you reach down from heaven and you meet the needs that need to be met tonight. I pray tonight, Father God, for the ones that are sin sick in our families. Lord, I pray you'd bring them to old-timey repentance, Father God, that they get to that place where they get under that spout where the glory runs out. They give their life to you, Father. Lord, I pray tonight we be the church you've called us to be. I pray we stand on thus saith the word of God tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, for the ones that's going to have surgery this week. I pray tonight for the ones that's going to have babies this week, Lord God. I lift them up to you tonight. Father, I pray right now that you just have your will and way. I thank you for the praise report with Miss Theresa, Lord God. I thank you that her knee's doing well. And Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, you have your will and way in this place. I pray you bless this reading of your word tonight. I pray tonight you anoint the ears of the hearers as you anoint my mouth tonight. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, what's going on at the church? Tonight, as we come to chapter 8 of Acts, there is a lot going on in the local body church. As we come tonight and we see this, there's a lot going on. But as we look tonight at just what's going on at the church, I would say to you tonight, there's nothing different going on here than they are today in the world that we live in. And tonight, number one, I want to look at the great persecution that was against the church. Look with me tonight, if you would, in verse number one, the Bible said, "And at that time there was a great persecution, and they was persecuting the church." We know that at this time, Stephen, he has done come, and he's been beaten, and he's been stoned to death, and he had lost his life for the cause of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And tonight, that great persecution against the church, it is against the body of believers tonight. And as I read this text tonight, I want you to know, as body of believers tonight, me and Brother Wolf, I started coming back on the bus ministry earlier, and we got talking about the body of believers. And Brother Kara Blackard, one of my great friends, he said, if you're going to grow a church by 100 people, by 25 people, you better have 100 come through, because out of that 100 that goes through, it's a proven fact that 75 is going to filter back out the back door. They're not going to stick. They're not going to stay. They're not going to get surrendered to what God has called them to do. I thank God for this local body here that has stuck, and God's using you in a mighty way. He's using you all over this building tonight. But I understand that when great persecution comes against the church, number one, that persecution, it can scatter believers. Look at what the Bible says tonight. "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. He said, preacher, what was going on? They had been persecuted, and they started being scattered out amongst. And tonight, I want you to know, when they got scattered, they got moving around. When persecution comes, it got them moving around. It got them going to different places. And tonight, I want you to know, if you allow persecution to mess you up, and you allow when you're being persecuted, and people are talking about you, and it ain't going the way that you think it should tonight. You listen to me. If you're not careful, you'll allow persecution to be like a tornado. It'll come into your life, and not only is the Spirit of God is like a tornado, but persecution is. It'll come in and where believers are, and it'll just destroy stuff. It'll uproar stuff. It'll shake stuff in a local body church. You know local body churches, and I do too. Hey, where there's been persecution, or there's been a backbiting, or there's been something come in, and it wouldn't be long, a church that was strong, and it was thriving, and people getting saved, and people getting delivered from things in their life. No longer is it a church. The doors are closed, or they might as well be closed, because the Spirit of God's done rode off from that place a long time ago. Hey, but I got good news tonight. It don't have to be that way. If you find yourself under persecution tonight, it doesn't matter where it tries to scatter you. And tonight, if your family tries to scatter you, you don't have to be scattered tonight that way. Hey, listen to me tonight. You can stand on the Word of God tonight. If your finances try to scatter you and try to get you scattered brain, it doesn't have to be that way. And I know one thing Brother Jerry said tonight, and it is so true. Another thing that'll try to scatter you and get you away from one another is your health tonight. Hey, I want you to know your health tonight will try to scatter you. If there's anything we've seen try to scatter the local body church, it's been COVID. And COVID tried to shut the doors. It tried to scatter the people. It was persecution against the church. And we lost a lot of faithful members at this church to death because of COVID. And that's all it tried to do. It tried to scatter. It tried to shake. It tried to eliminate people in the local body church. And tonight, I want you to know, not only your family will try to scatter you, not only finances will try to you, not only health may try to scatter you, but wherever you find yourself, you do the work of God. No matter what this world tries to put on you, no matter what it tries to bring persecution against you, you do the work of God. Look with me tonight in verse number 4. You say, preacher, if I'm being scattered, I'm being tossed to and fro, can I do the work of God? Look what the Bible says. Therefore, they that were scattered, those that were scattered and everywhere, look what they did. They went everywhere preaching the Word of God. Even though that scattering come, even though that persecution come, hey, don't you back down, amen. Hey, today I was talking to Brother Riley back there, and Brother Kevin started praying, and I didn't know he was praying. Man, we done got back there talking, and he's a preacher. He got called to preach the Word of God, and if we was back there talking, it ain't going to be long. He's going to be behind this sacred desk. And I told him, I said, listen, son, I know people's going to call you to preach, but don't you preach nowhere else until you stood behind this sacred desk. These people are going to love you. They're going to back you. They're going to be for you. Not everywhere you go, they're going to love you, and they're going to be for you. You're going to go to places where persecution comes. Hey, but I told him, I said, son, you ain't going to be no wimpy preacher. You ain't going to be no wimpy preacher. You ain't going to be no sissy preacher. Oh, no, you're not coming out of this church being some kind of wimp or some kind of sissy. I said, son, you're going to stand and you're going to preach. Thus saith the Word of God. We're not called to rewrite the book. We're called to preach. Thus saith the Word of God. Persecution may come, son, but you square them shoulders back and you tell them what the Bible said. Can I get an amen? Hey, tonight, number one, persecution can scatter believers. But I know something else tonight. When persecution comes, it can strengthen believers. Hey, it'll scatter some, but it'll strengthen some. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1. He says that they scattered them all throughout Judea and Samaria except the apostles. He said, preacher, everybody, when persecution comes, they run, they scatter. Oh, no, not everybody. There's some people, they love pain. There's some people who loves pain. They love pressure. They work better under pressure. My wife will tell you, if my schedule's empty, I don't work good. You pile that thing slap full, and I feel better than I ever have. You give me a dull moment, a slow moment, man, it just wears me out. But as long as you're loading that wagon, man, I love what God's called me to do. Listen to me tonight. And not only persecution can scatter believers, but persecution can strengthen believers. Look what he says in verse number 1. When persecution comes, don't you back down. You stand strong. You say, what's going on at the church? There's a bunch of sissies getting out. They're not preaching the Word. They're not standing on the Word. There's a lot of church members that's cowering down, and and they're not standing. It soon looked like the world, then looked like the church. Tonight, we don't need the world inside of the church tonight. We need the church in the world. Can I get an amen? Hey, tonight he says this, that when you stand and you get strong in the word, listen to me tonight, it gives you the ability to stand. When you get that strength from that persecution, when everybody don't like you, but it don't bother you, you get the ability to stand. And when persecution comes, look what the Bible says. Except the apostles. What did they do? They stood, Brother Roy. They didn't cower out. They didn't get down. They stood on the Bible and they stood in what they believed. I see when persecution comes to a church, number one, it gives you the ability to stand if you will allow it to. It'll grow you when persecution comes. If you never get pushed against, you never get persecuted, you're going to be weak. You're going to be weak. If you ain't got nothing pushing you, you're going to be weak. If you've got no problems in your family, no problems in your home, no problems nowhere, and everything's a cakewalk, you're going to be weak. You're going to be weak. I want you to know, when you find you a man of God or a woman of God and hell's come against them, but they're still standing, they're strong. They're strong. Listen to me tonight. He gives you the ability to stand. He said, except the apostles, they stood. Look with me tonight. And not only did I say it gives you the ability to stand, but look in verse number 2. It gives you the ability to carry others. When persecution comes and you stand and you say, I ain't give in, I ain't giving up, I'm not backing down, I don't care what they say, I don't care who comes against me, I'm going to stand for Jesus, I'm going to stand on the Bible, I'm going to preach the word, I'm going to live, I'm going to sing, I'm going to have joy deep down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Tuesday, amen. I've got it down inside of me. Look what he says. And devout men, devout men. You know what we're looking for here, Brother Eric Cruz? We're looking for devout men. And devout women that's going to stand. You can't use somebody that's here part-time. You can't use somebody that's part-time. A part-time Christian will never be used in a local body church. A half-time Christian will never be used. You know who these men? These are devout men. Look what he says now. And devout men carried Stephen. Somebody they loved. Somebody they, man, they thought a lot of. He's dead. What are they doing? They're carrying him. They're carrying him to his death. He said, preacher, he lost his life for the gospel. Yeah, they didn't back down. They stood right up underneath him and carried him. Look, tonight, it gives you the ability to stand. It gives you the ability to carry others when you are hurting. They was hurting, man. They were squalling there. Look what it says here in verse number 2. With great lamentation over him. What was they doing? They was crying. They was begging out, pleading out when they had been hurt. Man, I've seen men in this church, I'm telling you, and I've seen women in this church that's been hurt. I mean, really hurt and persecuted. And other brothers and sisters come up underneath them, and they didn't dog them. They didn't beat them. You know what they did? They come up underneath them and lifted them up, helped them, brought them out of that place, and took care of them. Tonight, persecution can scatter believers, or it can strengthen believers tonight. The ability to stand is persecution will give you the ability to stand. It'll give you the ability to carry others, and it'll give you the ability to battle through. Pain will do this. It will move a church in the right direction if you will let it. Tonight, if pain comes your way, don't get bitter by it. Get better by it. If things come your way and you say, man, I don't know why it's coming my way, don't get bitter. Just get better. Because listen, anything comes to you, it doesn't come through the hands of God. Anything you go through this week, it doesn't come through his hands. You say, oh, preacher, all I've been through, it didn't come through the hands of God. Hey, everything's got to go through his hands. Everything's got to go through his hands. Oh, Job, when he went through all he went through, hey, it went through God before it ever went to Job. Tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is, number one, what's going on at the local body church? There's great persecution, and you must not get out. You must stand strong. Number two tonight, not only is there great persecution against the church, but there's godly preaching at the church. Persecution, you start preaching the gospel, persecution is going to come, but you keep preaching. But what he says tonight, if you will with me in verse number 5, then Philip. I wrote this down. Stephen was dead. He was dead. He ain't coming back. Don't make a monument for him. Bury him. He's dead. Stephen was dead. But Philip was alive. Tonight, God's going to use. You're still alive. Look what he said. Stephen was dead, but not the gospel. Because Philip was going to preach it. Look what he said tonight in verse number 5. Ben Philip. Stephen's dead. Persecution, they've killed him. Church is scattered. Apostles have stayed. Persecution going on. Now what happens? Philip steps up to the plate. This man's just lost his life for preaching the gospel. I don't know how many people would step up and say, I'm ready to preach now. I mean, you go to the restaurant. I ain't going to call one because y'all think I've been there and had it. You go to that restaurant and you get food poisoning. You get food poisoning. Go to the restaurant and get food poisoning. And you walk out and say, man, I got food poisoning. Okay, I'm going in too. You've lost your ever-loving mind. This is a million times different. But you get the illustration. This man's lost his life for the gospel. And instead of backing down in persecution, instead of backing down and cowering down, he steps up. Have you ever seen people be belittled, battered, because they believe in Jesus Christ? I know men that are sold out for Jesus Christ, and women that are sold out for Jesus Christ, and the world thinks they're complete lunatics. They think they're complete crazy. Can I say to you tonight, when you get sold out for Jesus, the world's going to think that about you. He says tonight, number one, great persecution against the truck, but their godly preaching at the church. Stephen was dead, but not the gospel. Look what he said in verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So how do you know it was godly preaching, preacher? Turn with me right back, if you will, to Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 5. How do you know it's godly preaching? Well, he says this. Acts chapter number 6, let's look at verse number 3. And he says, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Not half, not three quarters, full, on full. Look you and find you out seven men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Not only was it Stephen got chose, but Philip got chose. And tonight I want you to know, Philip went preaching. How do you know it was godly preaching? Number one, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Number two, he was full of faith. Number three, he was full of power. Number four, he was full of wisdom. That's what he had in his life. That godly preaching went out. And look what happens when that godly preaching, it goes forth from behind the sacred desk. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. They started listening to hear him what he spoke. And they didn't think he was crazy. They didn't think he was off his rocker. They said, there's something to what this man is telling us. This is coming from God. It's not coming from him. And look what he said. And he said unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he done. I love this tonight in verse number 6. If a local body church is going to get away from that persecution and be able to do what God has called us to do, and we're going to hear the preaching of the word of God, number one, we must be in one accord. It can't be no division. It can't be the right side against the left side. It can't be no division. It's all got to be equal. We all got to be in one accord. We all can't be the bright and morning star. There's only one, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's no big eyes or little U's. We're all on the same playing field. We're all in it together. We're all doing the same thing. And when Philip came and he preached, thus saith the word of God, they was in one accord. I love that. They was in one accord. There was no division. They was in one accord. And when you get in one accord, it's weird what'll happen. Huh? When you get in one accord, it's weird what'll happen. Look what he says. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake. They gave heed. They listened. I love this. Hearing. They started hearing things. You ever heard things? You ever heard things? In it being the spirit world. Hearing. And seeing the miracles which he did. Some's going to tell you that miracles no longer take place. You listen to me, that's not Bible. Miracles still take place. Brother Austin rededicating his life to the Lord was a miracle. Sister Brittany, can I get a witness? Hey, Sister Brittany rededicating her life to the Lord was a miracle. Amen? It is a miracle that people still get under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and they can't sit where they was at. Amen? Hey, people being saved, that is a miracle. This baby that's going to be born tomorrow healthy and ready to go, that is a miracle from God. Tonight, Brother Eric, the healing that you've received in your life, that is a miracle from God. Babies all over this room. Mamas and daddies all over this room. He said when they got in one accord, the Spirit could do his job. No man has ever seen God. How do we see God? We see God in spirit. When our spirit gets right and we get lined up with one another, he said, we're two or three together in my name. I'll be in the midst. I'll be right there with you. And you get in one accord, you'll start hearing things like you've never heard it before. And you'll start seeing things that you've never seen before. I ain't never seen a heaven like that. Well, since I ain't seen it, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I ain't never seen it, so I don't. Listen. Listen. It don't matter if I've seen it or you've seen it. If the Bible says it, it's true. And there are a lot of you in here tonight, counting myself, in my family, I'm needing miracles. I'm needing miracles. If God don't sit down, it's going to be dramatic. And I've told you, if I stay in a repentant mode and stay right where God would have me every single day of my life, I get up with Him, go to bed with Him, eat with Him, breathe with Him, I just stay right there where He wants me to be, I don't have to have dramatic help in my life. Daily help is better than dramatic help. If you let Him help you every day, it won't be no huge, bungus, big blow up in your life. Daily help is better than dramatic help. But you know what? When you stay out of church and you never come and you never come and you come back and it's a big old mess, you know why? Because you ain't had daily help. Now it's dramatic. I got to have it right now. I got to have it right now. My daughter had to have a, help me, don't let me say the wrong word, prom dress. Not wedding, prom. Prom. And this has been about 4 years ago. I don't know, maybe. She's getting another one this year. She's going with David's son. I'm telling you, them kids, she said, we're going Saturday prom dress shopping. I said, okay. You got any money? Huh? So who's buying it? Well, Daddy, I thought that you, I said, well, you ain't asked Daddy. I thought that you would, I said, well, are you going, well, we're going to talk about it? So for the last 2 nights, we've sat and ate supper together. She's just been happy as she can be. Sung a song tonight. You hear me? I know what's coming up. Hey, I might be dumb, but I ain't stupid. There's a prom dress out there. I know. So about 4 years ago, we're talking about daily helps better than dramatic. You ever seen somebody that's out of the will of God, and when they come to where you're at, they want you to help them right there, and they're dramatic, and they're falling apart, they can't help themselves, and they're squalling. But it didn't bother them for the last 2 years. They've been living that way, but now we're at this point. And they're just falling apart. I mean, they're going crazy, and they're sobbing, and they're going crazy. And I'm like, look, dude, I can't do nothing right now for you. We were sitting in Fulton, Mississippi, and they were looking at prom dresses. And, man, my phone was blowing up by a guy, and he was going through a battle. I hadn't seen him in years. And he called me, and he, you got to come to my house right now. Right now. And I'm thinking, man, he was under persecution. He said, I need a preacher. And I walked in to tell my wife they're going to have to hurry up because I need to go. That don't work well neither, by the way. You know, that don't go good. Because you're supposed to stay at home anyway. And when I walked into that store, I said, ma'am, I'm looking for my wife. I said, she's about this tall. She's got a daughter. We're both on the black-headed. She said, I'll go get them. There's so many women in there. You didn't get in that, Brother Brian. They's everywhere. And I looked up above the cash register. And when I looked up, there was a sign written there. And it said, your poor management is not my emergency. And if I've ever had God speak to me in a prom dress shop, he started blowing my phone up in there. And I thought, I'm not telling him I'm ready to go. I stepped outside. I said, yes, sir, can I help you? Preacher, I got to have you right now. And I said, man, I've just read something. Let me read it to you. What is that? I said, your poor management is not my emergency. I can pray for you. I can talk to you, but until you get to the place that you realize that God is the only one who can help you, and it's got to be daily in your life, it's never going to work. Can we pray? Burn, 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 burn. Done hung up. Folks, you listen to me tonight. Sometimes God's going to put it on you direct, right where you know what to say and when you need to say it and when you need to tell that person that. It's going to be up to you to stand up big enough and say, hey, this is what the Lord showed me to tell you. Will you heed that warning? He said tonight, number one, there was a great persecution. But number two, there's a godly preaching. Let me show you this tonight in the text that the godly preaching that was going on. He said they was in one accord. There was no division. They heard the word. They seen miracles. And God was moving in a mighty way. When the great persecution comes and you stand and you keep standing, godly preaching's going on, there'll be great prayer. There'll be great, 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 great pleasure in the church. When you have great persecution and you stick with godly preaching and you don't just get out there and everything tickle your ears, can I say to you tonight, there's some preachers you don't need to listen to on Facebook. There's some preachers you don't need to listen to on YouTube. There's some preachers you don't need to listen to on anything that you can just listen to because they call themselves a preacher. make sure they line up with this King James Bible. Well, that don't really matter. It don't matter if it's King. It don't really matter. Well, what else are you going to say it don't matter on? Let's just get ready. Well, the preacher, it ain't that big a deal. I mean, this ain't that, it ain't that big. What else ain't that big a deal? What else ain't that big a deal? Well, they don't believe exactly like I do, but they say something that I do like. Well, what else you going to not care about? That's why the local body don't have no pleasure in it, because we're listening to everything that's going on. Come on. It's causing division in the local body. It's causing division. There's no one accord. There's no hearing. There's no seeing what God's doing. When I was in seminary school, they told us this: don't never buy a book by the cover, by the author. If you buy a book by the cover, you may get something you don't need. But if you buy that book by an author that you can stand behind, it'll do good to your life. Tonight, can I say to you, the author of my Bible is God Almighty. I stand by this old book. I stand by this old blessed book. Man, it's been so good to me. It's helped me more than I've ever could have. Man, he's done more for me than I could ever tell you. There's been persecution in my life. I've seen preaching in my life. But I've seen pleasure. There's nothing like being a child of God. Let me share this with you. I know they're ready and you're ready. I could stay here all night, couldn't you? Look in verse number 8. And there was a great joy. What pleasure. In that city. Great pleasure. In that city. Great pleasure. Why, preacher? Unclean spirits came out of people. That's a pleasure. People were healed. I hate Noah went to a church didn't believe in healing. I hate Noah went to a church didn't believe in that demons could be cast out of folks. And there was great joy in that city. When they started in chapter number 8, up here in verse number 1 and 2, they was weeping over the loss of Stephen, his death. They was weeping. The great lamentation. They was weeping. Great lamentation. About 7 verses down, man, they're happy. They're happy. So, preacher, how can that be? Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 30, verse number 5. How can that be, preacher? I got a preacher I listen to. I used to listen to all the time. I liked him. I thought he was a solid preacher. I thought he preached the truth. And the last time I listened to him, he took a highlighter. And he said in John chapter number 4, he said, this verse don't need to be there. And he marked it out in his Bible. I said, never again will I listen to that preacher again. Listen to me. I don't care if I like it, if I don't like it. If it's in this book, it's right. What's going on at the church when a man of God that stands behind the pulpit thinks he's got the authority to mark something out? He's overstepped his role. Majorly. He said you can't add to or take from. If you add to or take from, you're taken out. Book of Revelation said you can't add to it, you can't take from it. I didn't write it, and I can't do neither one. I got to take it for what it is. Look what he says. Psalm chapter number 30 and verse number 5. They was weeping, now there's joy. Tomorrow, when she has this baby, they're going to be weeping. When you know, there's going to be a little weeping going on. Or let me say it was when we had our baby. I was crying my eyes out. Going to be weeping. And then after it's over, there's going to be joy. Happiness. What the Bible says. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning light. That's why when they got, they was weeping, they buried a man of God. But another man stood up, kept preaching that word, and brought joy back to him. Tonight, I'm going to tell you something. If you need joy in your life, the only thing that's going to bring joy to your life is this blessed old book. The only thing that's going to bring joy to your life is this blessed old book. Old preacher named Mays Jackson, I listened to him preach a good bit. Brother Mays was talking about a man that was in Vietnam. And as he was in Vietnam, he came back. And in his second tour, he went and he came back and he was just shook up. And he just broke down when it was thunder and light and then rain. He said, man, he lived in a life of persecution when he come back, and everybody would mock him and laugh at him. Said if it got thunder, he'd sit there shaking all over, squalling his eyes out, just couldn't handle it. He said one night it got real stormy, real bad. I mean, real bad. Brother May said it got stormy real bad, and he said, told his wife, he was sitting there, he's trying to climb on the bed, and said, listen, I've got to get to my daddy. I got to get to my daddy. And she said, what do you mean? She said, it's late, your daddy's in bed. Yeah, I just want to climb in bed with daddy. I got to get to him. He said, you're 30-something year old, and you want to go to your daddy's? I got to get to where daddy is. He was weeping. He was weeping his eyes. They said, I got to get to where daddy is. I got to get there. So they went to the house and knocked on the door, and it was raining, coming a storm. And mama come to the door and said, son, what's wrong? He said, I need daddy. Said he went there, daddy was in the bed, and said he's laid down beside his daddy. He said his daddy reached over and put his hand on him. He said, son, you're with me now. You're okay. Said, you get rest, and I'm going to stay up and watch over you. You may be weeping right now, but joy's coming in the morning. Said as he reached over and put his hand on him, said he moved his hand back, and lightning struck, and that boy raised straight up in bed. He said his daddy put his hand on him and laid him back down quickly. And said, I told you, daddy's got you. Tonight, can I tell you, when persecution comes, and you say, preacher, I don't know how much, what's going on at the church? What's going on? People ain't snugged up to the daddy. Ain't got to where the Father is. When you're out there trying to do it on your own and you don't get up there cuddled up against God, listen to me, you're going to get overtook by the wiles of the devil. But if you'll climb right up next to him, I'm talking about get right up to him, son. You hear me? Ain't nothing that little boy don't like more than at night. He stays on his mama until about 2:30 in the morning. They say don't never let a kid sleep in the bed with you. We've done it with two. I don't know what's wrong with us. But he'll get over there. And when his mama's got him, she'll let him just be a little loose. You know what I mean? Just a little loose, you know what I'm saying? And he'll wiggle. But when he comes over to daddy, I put him in that arm right there, and I hug him up tight, brother. I'm telling you, brother, I got him tight. And every time he tries to wiggle, I hold him a little tighter. And it ain't long, he gets comfort. And the tighter I hold him, he gets to the place where he's got rest, he's got joy, he's got peace, and he's able to rest the rest of the night. Tonight I may be talking to somebody tonight. You say, what's going on at the church, preacher, man? What's going on in my life? You just need rest. Persecution's going to come. You listen to the word of that book tonight, the preaching that comes from that Bible tonight. That Bible will preach to you when a preacher ain't standing. Can I get a witness? If you think preaching's only when it stands behind that sacred desk, that Bible preaching to you, son. I hope you get more than 3 times a week preaching. When I wake up, this thing preaches to me. When I go to bed, it preaches to me. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp than any two-edged sword. And tonight, if you're in this place, you say, preacher, I know I'm part of the church, and I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm tossed to and fro. And man, you get in that Word, you let that Word saturate that heart and bring that joy back to your life. Right where that Father would have you to be. Promise you tonight, if you'll get to where he is, he's going to love on you. He ain't going to push you. Ain't no daddy push their kid out of the bed and say, no, you can't. Get away. Go down and get tough. God don't tell us to get tough. He tells us to get humble. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this night. Father, I pray tonight, whoever I'm talking to, they don't let their pain rob their pleasure of knowing you and the relationship that you have with them. Father, tonight, Stephen lost his life, but Philip didn't back down. He stood up. And it blessed the people. Lord, tonight, I don't know who I may be talking to tonight. They said, what's going on at the church? What's going on with the church in whole? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning light. Lord, tonight, I pray you bless these folks. I pray you watch over them. I pray you help them tonight with the word that's been spoke. I thank you for speaking it to my heart. And Lord God, to know tonight, that you're raising up men to preach that blessed book. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All God's people say. Amen. Amen. Have a good night.